Today's Mishnah in Masechet Mikvaot is Perek Aleph Mishnah Vav. So, what we've had so far are two different situations over here. We've talked about two things. One is water that has been in a Mei Gevaim, which we said is exactly the same if it's in a Geva, or if it's in a Mikveh, or if it's in a bor, shichin, maharot, and the last part, or the last thing that we had, or even if it is meitam tziyot, that are pusko. That was a hint as to what's coming, because the closest we could get to level two of mikvahs, so far we're still on level one, and remember that that level one, we had a very profound difference between the Rambam's approach to that level one and the concept of the meaning of Tahira as it's associated with Mayim. According to the Rambam, it's the natural presence of the water per se on the earth, and not the way that the water is connected to the earth. Whereas according to all the other Rishonim that I'm aware of, it's all a function of the way the water is on the earth and therefore connects you as a Zriya, so to speak, into the earth. And that made a tremendous nafkamina. Because according to the Rambam, water that's in this puddle or that's in this mikveh that doesn't have arboim saw or that's in the bor shiach maros or that has flowed down off of a mountain and it's lying at the bottom in a valley, the meaning of that is that it can still be mekabel tuma. The fact that it's connected to the earth isn't what made it unique. The thing that made it unique is its naturalness and the fact that humans haven't gotten involved. The ultimate human involvement would be to put it into a kli and to turn it into mayim she'uvim. That's like the bitter end for poor water. But if you're talking about natural water, according to the Rambam, the moment that a human consciousness gets involved in doing anything with that water is no longer pristine, and therefore it can be mekabel tuma. According to the other Rishonim, as long as that water is in a pristine situation in which it's attached to the ground, that's the pristine water, then it doesn't matter even if somebody touches it. But what would matter is if somebody takes it off of the ground, either by drinking it, taking it to their mouth, or putting it into a kli. That's the way they understand the cases that we had in all of the Mishnayos up until now. And therefore, the idea of removing it from the ground, that's the ultimate end of the Mayim She'uvim, the way that the other Rishonim learn. The maximal that we got to that level, after the Mei Gevayim and Mei Mora and the Mei Shichin and Beres and even Mei Mikvah of Pochus Be'arboim Sa'a, all of this was still part of level one. The uppermost piece of level one was Mei Tamtziot that were Pusk. Now comes along the Mishnah that says level two. Level two, Lamala Mehem, beyond all of that, are Mei Tamtziot Shalo Pusk. How about if the water is still flowing down off of the mountain where so much rainwater has been absorbed, and it's continuing to flow from the water that was there over the winter, and it still looks like a stream. It's like a mayan, but it isn't really a mayan. It's just meitam tziot of gishamim. So over there, the halacha is that that water is considered to be in a pristine state, according to the Rambam, because of the fact that it is still flowing and coming into being as the water was originally delivered to the earth, so to speak. That puts it into a state of virginity in which anything that it touches cannot actually affect it yet because it's all still flowing and still moving. According to the other approaches, the idea over here, and it's interesting that nobody wants to say this among the Rishonim. I haven't found anybody who uses the word hashaka on this case. There are achronim that talk about hashaka. And you remember what hashaka is. Hashaka is the fact that you immerse water or touch water to other water. That was like where you have a kishvoferet hanod between two pools of water, one of which has arba'im sa'ah, and the other one is a bor of mayim she'uvim, and you allow one to touch the other, or you have water inside of a Coke bottle, and you put the bottle and the water into the mikveh, and the water becomes part of the mikveh, not becomes tar in the mikveh, because you can't be metayer, erklin u'mashkin, but it can become part of that mikveh. So normally we say that hashaka is something that is functional in a mikveh of arba'im sa'ah, or in a ma'ayan. This idea of mei tamtziot, which are not mei ma'ayan, which are rainwater, but they're still considered to be flowing, in effect, actually are metaher mayim that they come into contact with because it becomes part of the water. The reason that the Rishonim don't want to talk, I think, that don't want to talk about it as hashaka, is because hashaka is only said about a mayan or about a real mikveh, which is a basis of tahara. So the other Rishonim understand that the idea over here would be that the flow itself would be mevatel the pieces of water that had been in the person's mouth and so on. It's the fact that it's still flowing which turns this water into something different. Now, we saw a little bit of that in the Mishnah we had yesterday about the idea of once the puddle overflows, it's considered to be a new puddle, and we don't have to worry about the water in it. How does that work? That doesn't work through Hashaka, obviously, just the fact that more rain fell into it. So there's a concept of an overflow. You know where you see the same concept, gentlemen? You have a cup of wine that you drank from Kiddush. What happens to it? It becomes pagum. Now, if you want to unpagum that wine, so what do you have to do? So according to the Maram Rautenberg, you have to actually mix it with other wine and be mevatel it. But that's not how we paskin. We paskin that you take a little bit of wine from the bottle and you pour some of that wine into the old wine, and that now turns it into new wine. How does that happen? That turns it into new wine. So this idea that while things are flowing, they're basically part of a larger system. And that larger system recharges them so that now this is fresh wine, so to speak. That seems to be the idea, the same idea that we have over here. It's recharged water. Interesting idea of this concept of recharging, going all the way back, you know, here to the Mishnah. That's what I think the real Nakuda is. And
it's no longer limited to what's in that cup. In other words,
that's right.
But the cup is now...
Right. That's part of a broader natural system, so to speak.
That only works if there's a little bit of a cup and a greater amount in the bottle.
No. No, actually, no. What we do, what the Mishnah Berurah says to do is because the Maram Rautenberg said you're supposed to be mevatel it, he says you should do both. You should first pour a little bit in, and then you can pour it back into the cup. There it's no get. See what happens when Barnea makes me drink? I get hoarse. It's terrible. So, so he recommends to do both. But certainly there are grounds not to do both if it's not considered to be polite to pour your drunk wine back into the bottle. You know, because Miyikra Adinish, Shulchan Aruch Paskin is clearly not like the Maram Rautenberg. Anyway, but this is not our sugya. So getting back to this. Anyway, so I think that the two sugyas are somewhat similar. So I don't want to use the word Ashaka. So to continue. So there is, therefore, a value in level number two that doesn't exist in level number one. In order to bring out that value, let's use exactly the same three cases in their three applications, three variations of three cases. We'll do the same thing that we did in the first Mishnayos. So let's take the case. First comes along a person who's tamei and he drinks, followed by someone who's tar and he drinks. He's going to be tar, even though in the other case of level one, he would be tamei. Let's take a case where Shimon Tame was Shasa, and now he puts in a Kli. That Kli is going to be Tar. Let's take the case where Kikar Shatruma fell in after the person who was Tame drank. Even though he was Mediach, it's Tar. Let's take variation number two. A Kli Tame fell in, and then someone Tar drinks. He's Tar. A Kli Tame falls in, and somebody is Tevel a Kli Tahar. It's Tahar. Somebody used the Kli Tame that fell in, and a Kikar Shel Truma falls in. Even though he was Mediach, it's Tahar. See what we're doing? We're going through the three levels again. Let's take the third situation. Naflu Mayim Tameim. Mayim that was Tame fell in. Somebody that was Tahar drinks, he's Tahar. Why? Because it was all part of this broader flowing system. Water that was tummy falls in, and somebody puts in a Kli that star, stays star. Mayim that was tummy fell in, and a Kikar Shel Truma falls in. And now he's Mediach. It's still tar. And what's more, all of this water is kosher for Truma. Before we said kosher lechala, but it was a machlokas, whether it meant only. And it's kosher for netilas yadayim, which is mashma, not for tefilas yadayim. However, as we already saw, there are rishonim, and we talked about the machlokas, the Rambam, and the Ravid. According to the Ravid, you can use even mayim like this for even tefilas yadayim. You don't need to have me mikvah for tefilas yadayim. Mishnah Zion. The next stage up, level three. Level three of Tahara would be a real mikvah, what we call a mikvah. A mikvah, sheyesh bo arba'im sa'ah, shebo tovlim, you're allowed to be tovel yourself, and you can be matbil in that mikvah, kelim, and gerim, and your own yadayim. Where is there a din of tefillah of yadayim that you are tovel your yadayim? Where you have to be tovel your yadayim is like the Gemara in Chagiga said. You need tefillas yadayim for kodesh. When it comes to less than kodesh, you're talking about chulin, meiser, even truma, over there you do netilat yadayim. And there was the machlokas about whether it will help to do tefillat yadayim in a non-mikvah. But where the Mishnah is mechayev you tefilas yadayim, benogea touching kodesh, over there, you need to have a kosher mikvah, that's for sure, in order to do tefilas yadayim for kodesh, not to be confused with the aforementioned machlokes that we have with the Ravid and other Rishonim, including Rabbeinu Yonah. Here, for sure, you need a mikvah. Then, level three. Level one was the Gavi level, the Givaim. Level two was the Mayim Shiloh that were Shiloh Pasku at all. And now we're talking about level three was a Mikvah Varboim Sah. And level four, Lamao Mehem, is a semi Ma'ayan. What do you mean by a semi Ma'ayan? Well, let's imagine a case where you have a Ma'ayan that is a real Mayan, it's a spring water. And remember, gentlemen, the important din of a Mayan. There are two very important differences between a Mayan and a mikvah. A Mayan is mitayer bizochalim. It's mitayer while it is moving. Water that is rainwater is not mitayer when it's moving. This level that we had before, level two, of metamtziot that are moving, it never said it's matire anything. All that it said was that if water that had been tame was in it, it's no longer matame. But that's not because it's acting as a mikvah. Here, the third level was acting as a mikvah that's actually matire. Okay, but mayim that's a mayan, that can be matire even while it is moving. A mikvah can only be matire if it's be'ashboren. Remember those words, be'ashboren, versus Zochalim. Ashboren is talking about when it's standing in still in one place. Now, there's another big difference. The other big difference is that if you're being tevel something in a mikvah, it has to be put into a mikvah of Arboim Sa. But if you're tevel something in a mayan, it doesn't matter how much water there is in the mayan. So let's say you have a fork that you want to put into the mayan and be matvil it. That's a perfectly kosher tefillah. Now let's imagine another situation. How about if you've got a big pot that you want to put into a mayan? Problem is, mayan is not deep enough for it to be tevel a pot in. So what you do is you dig out a hole, and the water of the mayan is in this hole, and you add tap water. So you open up the tap, and that way you fill up what is a mayan, which is rov tap water. What is the din of that? Well, that is a level 4 mikveh. And in certain ways, it's like a mayan, and in other ways, it's like a mikveh. So the din is a level 4 mikveh. Lamala mihen is a mayan which has meimav muatim, does not have much water. You opened up a tap, you fill the well up with water, but tap water. So that is considered to be shovel a mikveh. That is similar to a mikveh that it can be metayer. It doesn't matter how much kosher water there is in a mikveh, in this particular mikveh, and therefore it's not like a real mikveh. But it's similar to a mikveh in that it has to be standing still. It can't be moving. On the other hand, it's similar to a mayan because you do not need a shear of arboim so, and as long as whatever it is you were being tevo fit into it, it's metayer like a mayan, lat pilbo bechol shehu. And even if there's no arboim so, it would still be considered to be kosher. Now, I mentioned when we first went through the dinim in the introduction that it's a machlokes rishonim about whether the din of a mayan to be actually metayer bekol shehu is that said only on tefilas kelim, or is that said even on tefilas adam? So if you have a small person and he does fit into a mayan or into this kind of mayan shorov olav mayim shuvin, would he also be able to become tahor? That is a machlokas. But here, what we're talking about, lahat bilbo, for sure, lahat bilbo kalin, is definitely this level 4 tahira.